God bless you. My name is Aaron. I'll be doing tonight's teaching in our Heavenly Father's Word. I'll kind of give an explanation for the teaching before we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. My father and I were at the YMCA pool, and there's a woman who was probably 34 months pregnant, it looked like. It stuck out like this far. I mean, my dad looks and he's like, can you imagine what that feels like, having a something inside you or kicking? And I'm looking at how uncomfortable, and her stomach is out this far, and she's really little. And I'm looking at this going, and there's a creature inside of her, moving and kicking and all the rest is in debt. And I was like, how would you sleep at night? It's pushing on your bladder. And the point of all that is, we are familiar with being pregnant, or people being pregnant. We understand the purpose of all the discomfort. Now, guys, we can't relate. But we can understand. Women can understand if you're going to get pregnant, you're going to be huge, and all these other things. And I'm sure any woman that's had kids could come up and say, here's a list of the negative things that are going to happen, right? But if they were to give you the list of the negative things, you would know before all the negative things, there's a big plus, right? So even though they're telling you all the negative things, in the back of your mind, what are you thinking about? Mm-hmm. An infant. A child. You know, it's temporary, right? So the baby or the future of having children will actually anchor a husband and a wife, because the husband might not be physically going through the same things, but he's got to take care of her. Your story is about taking care of a crazy woman and getting peanut butter and pickles or whatever at the middle of the night or whatever they got to do. And why do they do that? It's an anchor. The anchor is what? The hope. The hope of what's going to come. And they'll go and endure through discomfort, all kinds of different things. Women not feeling beautiful, and you can do all the list of negative things. I think it'd be real important for somebody to do all the list of the negative things, because we don't think about it, because we're thinking about the kid, right? The child. And Jesus Christ talked about that too, saying that a woman, when she goes to child, all these discomforts, once the baby's born, completely forgets about all that. Now that makes sense, right? Tonight's teaching is trying to give Christians an anchor. Most Christians have no anchor. They have no anchor. They have no baby they're thinking of. If you talk about it, and here's a good thing. Well, here's just an example. I'm kind of going off script here. Do you know what's really, really popular these days? House shows. You just Google Fixer Upper, Property Brothers, love it or list it. Who really likes these shows too? Women really like them. What is it? It's about a house. It's about your dream home. It's about flipping a home. And even if it's flipping a home, it's a home that you don't get to decorate and enjoy, and then you flip it, right? What is your home going to be like when Christ comes back? I didn't know until Christ called me out one time. If you don't know what your home is going to look like, how can you have hope to endure the discomforts and the pains of being persecuted, being left alone, and people ostracizing you, if you don't even know where you're going? Faith without works is dead. A sailor who is floating on a raft for dead might imagine an apple pie. Not that the apple pie is literally what's going to get him through. He's going to get something that's going to control him, that it's worth it, it's worth it. And Christians should be doing the same thing. What is your house going to look like? And if you don't know, you should. That's faith. What job are you going to have when Christ comes back? I think this is important, because when you start digging into Yahweh's word, even saying the name Yahweh is uncomfortable, because I'm not blending in anymore. Why am I going to start saying this? Well, because you're going to meet Yahweh. And He's not going to want you to call Him the Lord. That's not my name. My name is Yahweh. So we try to help people and say, what is your job going to be after the resurrection? Mine, and I'm learning with this too. I don't know if anybody's ever come up with this. But I do have a home. And I have not been working on it. but we should be working on the home that we're going to have. My home, I didn't want to do it, and Christ was like, you need to start thinking about where you're going. What's it look like? And I don't know. I don't need anything big. Then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, you have that because you asked not. What is this, Aaron? You know what you want. And so then I designed a home that had, I like the mountains. I like skiing, so there's going to be skiing on one side. I like the ocean, I like scuba diving. So the other part of the property is I'll be able to go scuba diving with boats. But I also like, I like warm mountains, like Hawaii. I love Hawaii. And I like the plains, I like the sunsets. And all of a sudden I was designing the geographical place where I'm going to be going. How big is your house? Well, it doesn't need to be big. Well, how, Aaron, are you ever going to have people over? I turn to Matthew chapter 19. Kind of the purpose is what I wanted to help is that a lot of times I was witnessing to somebody recently, and this believer, he appears like his whole life is just going by. He's not doing anything. He's kind of going with it, and I finally said, it was on my heart, what job are you going to have when Christ comes back? What's that supposed to mean? Well, worthy with little, worthy with much. What can he trust you with in this life? And the conversation, instead of trying to show them how much air they had, the urgency was, where are you going to actually go? And I deal in finance. And some people, they never think about retirement. They have nothing saved. And then retirement happens, and nobody did this to them. You just didn't ever plan. You never thought about retirement, so you never invested into it. Retirement financially is an anchor to keep you disciplined to go. You're going to run out of money. I have a client just recently, and she wanted me to do something with her assets, and I go, "You want me to advise you? Or you want me to just follow orders?" Advise me. I go, when do you want to run out of money? What's that supposed to mean? I go, just tell me. And she goes, well, what does that mean? I go, some people say they never want to run out of money. She goes, what's that mean? You don't take more than 5%. You take more than 5%, you're going to run out of money. And I said, I got some clients that they're not worried about running out of money. This is not their life savings. I said, when do you want to run out of money? And all of a sudden, she never even thought about running out of money. She was living in a fantasy. That's retirement. We can understand that. But if we don't know where we're going, if we don't have an idea what our job is, or our position is, I think we're missing it. We're missing the mark. Because in Matthew chapter 19, if somebody would read 21 through 28...
Yahushua said unto him, if thou desirest to be perfect...
Actually, we'll go down to 27. And so...
Then, making answer, Peter said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall there be for us?
So this is important, because when we tell people that the name is Yahweh, and then you validate it, and you show every translation hides the name Yahweh, they put the Lord. Why? Peer pressure. Audiences don't want it. How can this be? Yahweh? Yeah, it's not Jesus. It's not his son's name. It's Yehoshua. I learned that too. You know what that made me? Very uncomfortable. And I didn't want it. I was tired of giving. And actually, when my dad started calling our Heavenly Father Yahweh, in my mind, you and I was thinking, that's enough. That's it. I'm done. You know how much I've already, how uncomfortable I already am, and now you're going to one-up it? In my own mind, I was like, he's pushing me too far. He is pushing me too far. Until Yahweh went, are you ashamed of the gospel? No. But you're ashamed of my name. And so I was thinking all my life was in this life and blending in with Christians. And then Christ comes back. And in my mind, I didn't think about it this way. That's it. I never thought of the next level. And Peter's the same thing, because Jesus Christ or Yehoshua is going to tell him how difficult it is to inherit. And Peter's going to say, we left all and followed you, man. And people are, you're going to start showing them, and I'm going to show you some difficult stuff in here, not for us, but for other people. And they're going to go, why should I give up this tradition of man that I have that comforts me? And you're going to go, let's look at what Peter said and what encouraged Peter. And Yehoshua answered unto him, verse 28. Peter, you don't need a reward. You should just do it because you love me.
Nope.
No? Christians don't need rewards. It doesn't matter what you do or you don't do. Nothing can make you love Jesus, love you more or less. No? He said, verily unto you, as for you who follow me in this generation, when the Son of Man shall take his seat on his throne of glory, ye also shall be seated upon 12 thrones. He's going to get a throne. Peter, a fisherman. And I believe, did Peter have some choices? He's going to deny Christ three. Actually, he does that twice. He denies it three times twice. And also, in the Gospel of John, Yehoshua comes to him and says, Peter, do you love me? In the back of his mind, I bet you he was thinking about that throne. What does this throne mean? What could this be? Why would he say that? Can you imagine going to bed that night? I never thought about being on a throne. Maybe Peter was thinking about a big fishing boat. How about a really big boat?
Yeah.
Great big boat. No, no. I want you to be on a throne, Peter. A throne. And who could have, who knows, maybe at that night, Yahweh and Christ, through Peter, could have given a vision of something like King David or something, what was their dream for his life. And once you get a glimpse of that, I get to do that with people in retirement. You paint a picture, they're going, whoa. And I believe that when Yehoshua said this to Peter, Peter knew what was on the line. And with Peter, do you love me? Man, how long is this life going to last? Because as far as Peter knew, the day of Yahweh is going to happen right after this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
And you're going to go, there's a throne involved here. And I believe that if we use the same tactic with people, where are you going? What is your house going to be? I have no idea. And then you say, James and John, one wanted to be seated on the left hand, one wanted to be on the right hand. Christ did not reprove him. Others wanted to know who's going to be the greatest, and he did not reprove him. Christ taught them how to be the greatest. It's not this candy-coated Christianity. It doesn't matter what you do, you don't do, everybody gets in. Do you know who benefits from that? Your flesh and Satan, the adversary. Because it means you're not earning anything. This whole life is a job interview. And when is Christ coming back? It's undercover boss, baby. We have no idea. And it doesn't matter what your justification is. It's going to be you hooked up to a lie detector test, baby. What'd you do? Well, is this there on? Oh, it is on. Okay. Are you going to be? Okay, what did you do? But we need to paint a picture. What is your job going to be like? What can he trust you with? And this guy that I talked to, he'd never thought about it, and he was doing nothing with his life to help anybody. He was very comfortable with where he is, and I was trying to plant a seed. Because they give him an anchor. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I'll just reference a lot of this stuff. I was getting my hair cut today. She likes to brush it messy. And she says she's watching a sitcom. There's some sort of reality TV of these 600-pound people. I don't know anything about it. And it's about these 600-pound people that don't know they're 600 pounds. And she goes, how could you not know you're 600 pounds? I looked at her and I went, this is not a coincidence. Because you know what I wrote down right before that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. They comparing themselves with themselves. When you're that obese, do you know who you don't hang out with? Runway models. You don't go into locker rooms. You stay away from certain things. The objective is our flesh. We have the adversary, the serpent, the angel of light. Then, probably for good Christians, your biggest adversary is this, your flesh. And what does it want? It wants to be comfortable. I thought that I had a really successful job. Until my brother, who worked for a millionaire, who was his hobby was like a $6 million game ranch. It's his hobby. And he came back from hunting in Texas, and Izzy's like, my brother asked, where have you been? I've been in Texas. Hey, I'm my rich friend. Your rich friend? You got $6 million in a hobby. Which, and he goes, and he told my brother, but first of all, my brother didn't say you have that much money. He goes, your rich friend? And the response was, until you got a helicopter or a plane, you're not rich. This guy's got a helicopter. And we fly around his property. We shoot feral pigs with AR-15s or AR-14s. And he's talking about that to his relative. And all of a sudden, you're going to go, this guy thinks I got to get to work. I was at another client's house where she was talking about aircrafts that people are taking, I think it's $3 million every 3 years to service your Cessna. Or it's a Bombardier. Just to service it. You can't fly this aircraft unless you have it serviced. They have to come up with $3 million to service it. That doesn't include your pilot, your insurance, your citation. It's like $20 million. The Bombardier Global's $50 million. And all of a sudden, Yali was like, Aaron, I want you in a throne. You're down here in a little dinghy, Andy yeah. Griffith fishing boat. I know you're comfortable, but I got big plans for you. I don't need something that big. Really? Because when we get a glimpse of an incredible, unobtainable throne, guess what happens? We become empowered to endure much discomfort. Because I got something on the line. I can endure because I got a throne. I saw where I'm going, and I don't know when Christ is coming back. I'm not losing that throne. I saw it. I saw it in my own eyes. And Yahweh and Christ will work inside you to give you glimpses of what could be possible. He doesn't want you to be weak. And if you think you don't need to think about your position after the resurrection, you've exalted yourself higher than Peter.
Yeah.
And you've exalted yourself higher than Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says he endured the death of the cross. Why? The joy that was set before him. He's seated at the right hand. And how many times were our own Lord using his own imagination to think of something incredible that would be worth it? We have to focus because it says in Matthew 6, that where your heart is, your treasure is. We are what this group right here is the toughest group that I know on the planet. But if we're not focusing on our where we're going, we're not tough enough. We could be a heck of a lot tougher if we started getting a glimpse of things above and beyond, like David sitting, whatever that could be. The thing about Jesus or David saying, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Can you imagine David getting a glimpse of being in Yahweh's throne room with all the angels and the 420 elders and the Zoe, holy, 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 in Book of Revelation. And here's David getting a concert on his harp. And David's looking at this and he's going, getting this glimpse of what could be, seeing the baby that could be given, that could be come into fruition if he endures. The king Saul lost it. He gave it up. He said the throne would have been established through you. Solomon lost it. Are you smarter than Solomon? He has his reward. Christ was able to endure, endure, endure. But comparing ourselves with ourselves, the most Christians, when you start showing them, the more you learn about the Word, the harder it gets. You got to show them the rewards.
Yeah.
What's the baby going to look like? Yes, you're going to get fat. Yes, you're going to get stretch marks. Yes, your nipples are going to leak. Yes, you're going to, whatever, women, list all the things. But let me show you a picture of my kids. Do you know what it's like to have a Mother's Day and they make your first breakfast? And there's eggshells in the eggs. And the toast is burnt. And the coffee has coffee grounds in it. And they bring it to your bed. And then they spill it on your sheet. You know what that's like? It's worth all the pain in the world. Or you ask a father, what is it like? You want to know what it's like when you have a little kid draw you a happy Father's Day or sing you a song on your birthday and you start going into this and then all of a sudden people start hearing it and they're going to go, holy cow. And they might not even understand it, but they can feed off of you and your energy going, maybe there's something I don't know about this. And that's what we should be with where we're going. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Actually, Dad can recite this while you guys are turning there. 2 chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. If you feel up to it.
Well, that's all right.
Second Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. The people heaped up Aaron, Aharon, made golden calves. Were they thinking about the day of Yahweh? Were they thinking about the judgment? Were they thinking about the new earth? No, they were not. They had their own reward. They were thinking about the lust of the flesh. What was Aaron thinking about? Was he thinking about going before Yahweh? He just didn't want a church split. You can't have a church split. You know what he should have done? Split the church. Because that's what Moses did. Who is for Yahweh? Moses was able to think about, where are we going? Because who could endure like Moses? Who could endure like the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, who had fellowship like him? I can imagine what he's thinking about his place. What's his job going to be? Are you making tents? Tell me, if I was Timothy, I'd be Paul. Tell me, what is your job going to be? Well, I really like making tents. But I got this vision of me doing this as a painter or whatever. And all of a sudden you're going, really? You was a painter? Yeah, I don't understand it. But I saw me doing like a Sistine Chapel. It doesn't exist yet, but it will a little bit. But you can imagine all of a sudden going to go, holy cow. If this guy can endure those things and the thorns and the flesh and the rest of the stuff, what am I missing out on? I need a glimpse. Will you give me a glimpse of my position so that I can endure more and take it on the chin with a grin? Not just endure these things, but so I could be like Peter. And guess what he would be doing? You know how long I've been waiting? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'll help you with your homework. Here. And he starts giving you a glimpse. Somebody read verse 3 and 4, please.
For there will be a season when the healthful teaching they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside.
Yeah, and so they're going to heap up their own teachers according to their own covetings. And when they're doing this, are they thinking about the resurrection?
No.
No. And Timothy, it says right over here on the left-hand side, Yahweh's not giving you a spirit of cowardice. Don't be a coward, Timothy. Ouch! Paul, those are some harsh words. Have you done anything? Don't be a coward. Why? Because you're going to have Moses and Aaron moments, Timothy. Church splits is not the end of the world. You forgetting the resurrection and you being weighed out is the end of the world. You forgetting about everything passing through the fire, you'll be there, but all your works, turn in all your homework, all my homework, all your homework. That is what you should fear, Timothy, because they're going to heap up people and they're going to forget about where they're going, or they're not going to care. People want candy. They come to church for candy, to have things affirm what they already believe. And they like the music, and they like the groups and stuff like that. And we're happy for all that stuff. But why are they going there? Candy! You give me candy. If you had kids, if kids got to vote at the middle school of what their menu is going to be, what would they order? Candy! And what would they eat? Candy! And would they have any room in their stomach for food? Meat? Would they drink milk? No. As an adult, what do you got to say? No. You can't eat candy. You have to have meat. You have to have these things. An adult will teach that. And pastors are supposed to be teaching that to their congregation. Problem is, if I don't give them candy, that guy's going to give them candy. So what are you going to do? And Paul was saying, if it splits, it splits. And Paul also said, verse 15, all Asia departed from me. The book of Ephesians has departed from Paul. Was he worried about a church split?
No.
No. Well, yeah, I'm sure he was. All my work, are you kidding me? I just got done talking to a minister this morning, and his whole worry is what's going to happen after my ministry? Who's going to carry this on? And my response to him was, Moses didn't know until the 40th year. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. And I go, and then there's a lot of things that it's not going to be taken care of about it. Don't think about it. Stinking thinking. Yahweh, that's above your pay grade. That's an upper management. You just do your job. The Apostle Paul did it, and it could have been possibly Timothy was maybe thinking, what about after me? How am I going to do this? Don't do that. You just do your job. And it could be, if you read through the history, how many good kings there were, and you know what happened right after that good king?
bad.
A horrible king! And have that good king moan about that? Oh, I quit! What's the point of this? The point isn't this lifetime. The point is your audition for the next life. King David, God, it's a good thing he didn't see how Solomon ended. Rehoboam and the rest of this stuff. We don't need to know. Where is your reward? Is it your legacy on this earth? Could be. Or is it your legacy that could start in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? That way your heart is your treasure will be. And the more you focus on where your real legacy is, the stronger and more big dug in. And I have some clients that I will talk to them going through all kinds of hardship. And I go, do we need to back off on the retirement plans? No. They find a way to make it work because we've already painted a picture that your house will be paid off, this will be paid off, you can't lose your assets because of nursing home or hospital bills, you'll have this amount of money for the rest of your life, you'll have this amount of money to give your grandkids, and I guarantee you will have a legacy to leave the next generation, and this is the minimum they're going to get. What did I do for them? I painted them a picture, they find a way, I'm not losing that. I have a vested interest. And that's what we should be doing for ourselves first and then for other people. And then for some of them, they're never going to follow anyways. But other people would go, I never even thought of what my job is. You could be a garbage collector. You could be a garbage disposal repairman or whatever it's going to be. And we think about it. You ask Christians, you're going to go, what's your job going to be? That means you've been feeding on candy. Nobody's ever prepared you. Why? People don't want it on. What do they want? People just want to think everybody just gets in. Everybody's happy, and that's all there is to it. And why do people want that? It's the same reason people... you think about that. You know, there's a segue. You know, there's YMCAs where they don't keep score. And somebody was mocking it. We don't keep score here because it's all about the participation. Here at the YMCA, that's what's important. And the meme goes, every kid knows what the score is.
Yeah.
Do you have to tell the kid to keep score? Oh, we got 25. You're not supposed to keep score. Guys, your church is teaching there's no score. When Christ comes back, there's going to be a score. And if your pastor, your church is not preparing you for that, be grateful for them. But you're going to go, do you want to know what the score is? And that's for us to help people. And they go, I don't care. Well, good luck to you. Because 2 Colossians chapter 2, page 206. Colossians chapter 2. Okay. It's right after 3 Corinthians. Colossians 2 verse 8. I'll skip through this. If you guys can get there, that's great. If not, I'm going to try to not go too long. Be taking heed lest there be anyone leading you off as a spoil. How could you take a bunch of people out of a church, possibly? At our church, we have candy. At our church, everybody gets along. At our church, we don't talk about politics because Jesus loves all of us. At our church, we don't bring up abortion, these other things. But we have really good music, good coffee. Tell me more about this church, right? And I'm saying this sarcastically, nevertheless, I have flesh. There's things that I want too. And it's not Satan. It's not the adversary. It's not the angel of light tempting me. It's me. And I'm just tired, man. I'm exhausted. I'm so tired of being alone, man. I want some friends. Where's your reward? Good point. What do you got online here, Aaron? Good point. Good point. I just got a pep talk from my dad yesterday. It's incredible how many pep talks I get when I went to ask him for them. It was just fellowshipping with believers. And it wasn't my dad pep talking me. Guess who was pep talking me? The creator of the universe, who spoke the stars into existence, started speaking to my father, saying, Aaron, maybe your story is like Joseph. Very, 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 very difficult. But man, is it going to be worth it in the end? And was it worth it for Joseph?
Yes.
Was it worth it for Moses? Was it worth it for Paul? Well, hold on a second. In my candy-coated Bible here, Paul was martyred. You haven't read your Bible. Because Paul said, Yahweh had delivered him from everything. He said that to Timothy as he closed it off. Paul went to sleep as a nice retirement, like Elijah did. What about the rest of the guys? Candy, candy, candy. People making stuff up. People, why are they making stuff up? People want to hear it. Mm-hmm. You don't make stuff up people don't want to hear. Not what you could. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You don't have to go there. I'll reference it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, and Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul, who's speaking, it's Yahweh through his Son, who's seated at the right hand, Christ, who's running everything, Yehoshua. He says, you guys are babes. I can't feed you meat. You think can you imagine that you ever talk to a babe in Christ and they want you to answer a very sophisticated, complex thing on here? You can't even handle speaking in tongues. What? I had this with one guy. I was talking about this and the rewards, and he looked at me and he was very, very honest, and he was a good heart. And he goes, Aaron, I disagree with you. I don't do things because of rewards. I don't need it. I love my Lord, my Savior. I'll do anything for him. Then why don't you speak in tongues? I can't. Says who? Things got really personal. I said, because the scripture says I want you to speak in tongues. Why don't you do it? You don't want to. Rewards are to help you do things you don't want to do. And the things you do want to do, but specifically things you don't want to do. What do you think Paul felt when he had to reprove the Peter, the pillar, in front of everybody in Galatia? You know how hard that would be? This is Peter! He walked on water, he's shadow, he's the one on the day of Pentecost. And even Paul, he writes that him and Barnabas got welcomed by the three pillars. James, John, and Peter. Who called them those pillars? Yahweh did when he wrote it. Have you ever spoke something and words came out and you're like, oh! And here's Paul going, the three pillars. And then with the two got to bring in. But the thing is, he rebuked them in public. I wonder what was on the line in his own heart and mind. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Go do this. What about that, Paul? What about that 6-month vacation with you and Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah on that boat, the cruise ship? Remember you talk, whatever it is. And it doesn't mean you're literally going to get it, but find something worth fighting for, something worth enduring, so you can do things you don't want to do. So when Christ comes back, you can go, man, I have a client that he probably never made more than $40,000 a year, maybe $30,000 a year. He was one of the most odd people I've ever met. His name was Mr. Brick. Very odd. Yet, he had more money than people that made 3 or 4 times his income. Because he saved. He saved. He was saving for retirement. Now, I wonder how many believers. The milk and the babes in Hebrews 5 and 1 Corinthians. Christians today, I'm going to say most of them aren't even babes. They can't even handle milk. They think it's milk. It's chocolate milk. That's 3 parts chocolate with a little bit of milk in it. Because their doctrine doesn't come from this book. It's a one scripture doctrine. It doesn't fit all the rest of it. It's something taken out of context. So you may have got one scripture. Or it's a minimal doctrine, a scripture doctrine, where there's 3 things that are taken out of context and they base their whole life on it. So they got a little bit. But it makes me think of a kid making their own milk. Can I have some chocolate in my milk? Yes. They come back. You mean, can I have some milk in my chocolate? And you ask Christian what the scriptures and stuff, and their whole life is candy, 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 candy. But I believe if we start talking about where you're going, you can start preparing. Now let's talk about some difficult subjects. Oh, and then you talk about babes and the Christians. I'm not a baby. I'm not a babe in Christ. Who are you comparing yourself to? The other one in diapers too? Yeah. Are you comparing yourself to Paul? I speak in tongues more than you all? Covet to prophesy? Are you comparing yourself to Moses, who wrote Yahweh's name 1,600 times? Are you comparing yourself to David, who said Yahweh's name over and over and over again? Who are you comparing yourself to? Because when a toddler says, I'm a big boy, I don't need a nap, and he looks over his other toddler, see, we're big boys. Yeah, you look really big. And at the resurrection, there'll be infants. but that's what we got to say. You're comparing yourself with yourself. You're not comparing yourself to the resurrection and what you're going to have. So you got Matthew chapter 6, where your heart is, your treasure is going to be. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. If you don't think you need to focus on your reward, then you're really missing it. Because Yahweh can't ask you to do hard things. Well, as soon as he asks you the hard thing, he can't ask you to do hard things. You don't have any stake in a retirement. If my clients that have big retirement goals had no idea of where we're going, and I told them that they need to cut their spending by $500 a month, you know what they would tell me? No. Who the hell are you? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss this thing. What thing? Our retirement. Oh. And the earthly treasure. So turn to Genesis chapter... Genesis chapter 3.
Chapter what?
Chapter 3. And if somebody would read 1 through verse 3.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any living thing of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. So he said unto the woman, can it really be that Elohim have said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
Lest you die. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, if anybody adds to anything to what I said, they are cursed. He says it twice. Anything... any teaching, whether it's intentional or unintentional, if somebody comes in with a doctrine that does not fit all of it, then you're going to say, you're cursed. Especially translations to devotionals and stuff. And James says, you don't want to be a teacher. If Yahweh calls you to be a teacher, you have to be a teacher. Because a greater judgment is going to happen to you. Aaron's, Timothy's, this Aaron also. So what was the conclusion of what Eve said? If you eat the tree, what's going to happen? You will
die.
Lest you die.
Lest you die. And he didn't say anything about touching it either.
Okay. The point is that in chapter 2, verse 17, Yahweh says you will die. Dying, you will die. If you touch this. Now here is, what does the serpent look like? 2 Corinthians says, what does he look like? The adversary is an angel of light. He looks like, I like to think of Joel Osteen or somebody who just radiates light. Joel Osteen's got a lot of light. I'm not knocking him, but he manifests a lot of light. Or whoever it could be. And you're like, wow, Paul White. You're like, look at this person. There's something very special. The adversary is going to, what did the adversary look like with Eve? He looked like a really good minister. Or a high priest. And the adversary, I'm going to read this new modern translation. His response in verse 4 says, Eve! Don't you know that Yahweh and Moses lied to you? Colton found out. They all lied. Colton found out you won't die. Colton found out that if your body dies, you go to heaven and paradise. Colton. Eve said, who's Colton? I don't know Colton. He said, Colton, the little prophet who went to heaven. His father, the pastor, wrote a book and made a movie. It's the second highest gross income of any Christian movie ever. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that either. And how do we know that when you die, you don't die? You're set free from your body, you go to a better place. Colton told us. Really? How do we know? Well, Colton said so. And his dad printed it. and it made $100 million, this movie did. Plus, Colton said the baby in his mom's womb that died went to heaven. What's that mean, Mr. Angel of Light? That means abortions put baby in heaven. In fact, abortions don't kill babies. Abortions keep our populations wonderful in paradise. Who doesn't love children? Wouldn't you like children in paradise? I would like children in paradise. How do we know that? Because Yahweh said we would die. That's not what he meant. He meant you'll be set free, absent from the body, present from the Lord. Plus, what Colton says confirms that if Cain murders Abel, Abel will be in a better place with everybody's about the same age. It's beautiful. He'll be in heaven. And so if Cain murders Abel, he'll be in a perfect place. And we know that. Why? We got a book. Eve sits there and she goes, did you say Cain murdered Abel? How can that be? Because Yahweh says we'll die, we'll turn into dust. And he says, and we'll say later on, you're going to return to dust. Verse 19 of chapter 3. No. That's not what he meant. We got 20 minutes in hell for Cain. And how do we know this place is where Cain's going to go, this torture chamber? Well, because Bill Weiss went there. True story. And that's how we know there is a torture chamber, because we got this firsthand account. Moses didn't know about these things. Yahweh didn't know about these things, but thanks to Colton and Bill, we know these things are real. Eve was deceived, and she liked the candy because she didn't want to think about death, and she wanted the lust of the flesh. She wanted the candy. She wanted the candy. She took the candy. After the candy, she found out when Yahweh says, you're going to die, you'll turn into dust. The adversary said, Eve, I see you looking at the stars a lot. What do you think those lights are for? Eve said, well, Yahweh says in the scriptures they're for... If it's not in the scriptures, remain silent. The scripture says they're for times and seasons. What Eve says, right? What Moses said. Well, that's not true either. Eve, if you've ever wondered, aliens are alive. Do you know why? Let's see here. Oh, it's a true story about an alien abduction. It's a true story. An alien abducted this person and they wrote a book. And that's how we know. The aliens are real too. You can go on and on and on and on. The scripture says when you die, you go to sleep until the resurrection. David went to sleep. Stephen went to sleep. King David, sleep with thy fathers, sleep with thy fathers. There's no absence from the body present with the Lord the first 4,000 years. That's a one scripture doctrine. Stephen fell asleep. Christ is going to come back. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 is the resurrection of the dead. The dead are not in a better place. They're back to the dirt, awaiting the return of the king. I don't want to think about that when people die. I want them to be in a better place now. Ting. Well, Colton would agree. And you can buy, you know how many books you can buy? They'll tell you whatever you want. 1 Corinthians 15 says there's a death and there's going to be a resurrection. And the hope is not death to put you with your lost ones. Since death is an enemy. Religion, and Colton says, death sets you free to put you with your family. The point of all this is that when you start showing this, that the dead are dead until a resurrection. The hope is not death, it's the return of the King, Christ, any moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ. Well, how can he resurrect dirt, dust? I had this with a four-year-old once, and I had to sit there and go, it was hard for me too. And I went, well, wait a minute, Adam and Eve were dust. Why is that so hard to understand? Adam and Eve were dust, they became living souls. If we go to sleep, we'll become dust. And so the ones that we have lost are not waiting on us. They're dust awaiting the trumpet of Yahweh. And when we share those things, they're going to get vertigo. And they're going to be... That's not what people are teaching. People are teaching this. And I want to be around people. I want the groups of people, and then you're going to go, what job are you going to have? And so what we try to do is, can you imagine a man getting pregnant, going through all the things that a woman goes through, but there's no baby? Would anybody go through all the discomforts, the belly? If there's, would anybody do it? Mm-mm. No, if there's no child, why would they do it? Neither are most Christians going to endure if they don't know where they're going. There's no baby. There's no point in this. I'm not going to have stretch marks and a big belly and look ugly to my husband or look ugly to my wife and have hormonal swings if I'm not going to get a reward. The reward is a baby, and that's where we got to ground people at the resurrection and the same as Jesus Christ. Stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin, let us be running the race as lying before us, looking to our faithful Prince of the Leader, who, for the joy set before him, endured the death of the cross. Yeah. Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for do not be fearful and don't grow weary. Keep moving forward, and when I stimulate you in the direction, I give you direction. It's time to walk out. And as you walk out going forward, I'll take care of all the logistics. And trust me, a lot of people are going to leave your life when you start walking with me. And if you're with me, it'll be just like Peter. Who cares as long as I'm with the Lord? And as long as you're walking with me, I'll take care. And I will teach you about the baby you'll have at the resurrection. I will teach you about the jobs. And I will inspire you above inspiration about possibilities that you could have if you endure these things. Amen.
Hallelujah.